You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Do you have a nagging feeling that something needs to change in your life? Are you racking your brain trying to figure it out? And what does it mean for you to learn how to trust your gut? This week, Decker Kunoff is on the show to discuss how we can tap deeper into ourselves to find the answers to life's difficult questions. Welcome to The New Man. Today we're talking with Decker Kunoff. He's president of The Authentic World, a personal development company that specializes in helping people have amazing, rewarding relationships. Decker, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are things going out there? You're located in San Francisco, right?
Yep, that's the home base.
That's the home base.
It's been good, man. I mean, we kind of had a little summer vacation, but things are good. And it's good catching up with you. We just hang out, but maybe your listeners want us to talk about something more substantial.
You don't want to just sit here and bullshit around for a half an hour?
We can let them in on how profound and rewarding our bullshitting conversations are.
Let's have an authentic bullshit. That's what we'll do. I wanted to talk to you because you've helped me in this way personally in the work that we've done together. But I'm thinking about the guy out there that's starting to realize he's starting to hit the wall. He's realizing that something needs to change in his life, and he doesn't know how to quote unquote figure it out. Like, he's got to like kind of have a strategy or a map out there. And we've talked a lot about how to trust our gut, how to trust our hunches, that kind of thing. You've brought a lot of that awareness to me and my practice. And I was curious, how do we help this guy out? He's trying to figure it out.
Man, I mean, first thing I would do is just celebrate that he's aware of it. Like most people, I don't know many people who are aware that something needs to change or they've hit a wall.
Well, let's start there. How would a guy know that something needs to change? Like, he could. What are the telltale signs?
The usually it has to explode. Like, most guys' threshold from being totally miserable is amazing. I can tolerate hating my life for a long time and not do anything about it. Just accept it. Well, I guess that's just how it is, and I'm going to grin and bear it.
It's kind of like I'm going to suck it up kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I'm going to persevere and tolerate. At least for me, it didn't occur to me that there was something to be addressed. I had even my physical body. Like, I never would take Tylenol or think I was sick. It was just like, oh, mind over matter, something to just kind of push through. And then after a year of sneezing and being congested, I was like, huh, I think I need to do something about this. I think I have allergies or something. But it took a year of misery before it finally cracked me over the head enough. I was like, huh, I think something's wrong.
And that would probably be like what we talk about when a guy's checked out. Like, he's just not paying attention to all the signals that are coming his way.
If you're a guy, and if you're like me and Tripp, then you probably are sleepwalking in some way right now. Absolutely. And I think the reason I'm so busy working with man-woman dynamics is because women, when a guy relates with women, that highlights where we're actually selling ourselves short. We tolerate it, and then we start relating with this woman, and she doesn't want to tolerate it with us. She gets upset, and that's what gets me off my ass to actually pay attention.
She's feeling what we're not willing to feel, and like, just loud. She's a loudspeaker for it.
I'm happy to be numb. However numb I have to be to ignore the thing that's bugging me, that's fine with me. But yeah, most women do not want to live their lives that numb.
Okay.
So, or, you know, it'll show up in your career, or it'll show up in my physical health, like that example. Like, eventually, something has to give.
Right. And do you have, like, a personal anecdote other than the thing where you had the allergies or something? Do you have something like, oh, it woke you up, like, wow, I'm checked out, there's something going on here?
No, that's the only time that I've actually paid attention to myself. I always think if I can think of another example. If I follow even that example with my health, I just never got sick, ever. My mom never saw me. I mean, I would take sick days from school just to skip school, mm-hmm. pretend like I threw up or something, but it wasn't until that spell where I was like, huh, I think I have to actually take care of my body. The other piece was I was grinding my teeth at night.
Uh-huh. All right.
Which is a great one. That's a great symptom because I have no control over that.
Uh-huh.
You're sleeping.
Right.
Like, all my bullshitting techniques don't work. I'm asleep. But, you know, the woman I'm dating is like, Jesus, you're gritting your teeth like crazy at night. So,
and you're probably thinking, huh, I wonder if it's something I ate or, you kind of like look everywhere else other than your emotional.
I tried that. I did juice fasts. I did all that stuff. Like, maybe I'm not sleeping enough. Maybe I'm sleeping too much. Maybe I don't know what the hell. There is no roadmap. You have to actually just slow down and start paying attention. But with the allergies and all that, the congestion, I thought it may be food. But with grinding my teeth, that was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was pretty obvious that there's some stress or something bugging me.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm grinding my teeth down, like the dentist is upset.
Right.
And whoever girl is spending the night, she's upset. She can't sleep.
Right.
But she's weirded out. And I can't fake it anymore. And it wasn't until I slowed down and realized that I was actually upset.
Mm-hmm.
That things were bothering me, that I actually wanted something different than how things were going. The downside was then all of a sudden I'm crying. Like, I'm feeling emotional now even remembering it, but it was an intense time. And, you know, if you're like me, I was an Army brat growing up. My dad was Special Forces. And you know, there wasn't a lot of vulnerability in paying attention to myself. That was not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
You back something up for a while, you block it off, and the water level rises. I had years of hurt feelings and fears and all kinds of stuff bottled up that was finally showing up as me grinding my teeth like a madman.
Yeah, it's like it's a form of constipation. It's a form of, and then the body starts to, like, it's got to come out somehow.
That's a pretty disgusting metaphor for that. Thanks, Chris.
Hey,
coming out my nostrils.
That's what I'm here for, man.
Yeah, so when I slow down and pay attention, all of a sudden I'm starting to tear up, and my teeth are starting to chatter, and I'm just like this, emotionally constipated guy, and I'm starting to actually sob and share that I actually want things from people. And
now, was
like,
it
like, oh, you want me to be closer to you? A girl, what she's saying, that she's like, oh, I think you just want me to be closer. Well, hey, I'm not going to do it for you, though. I want you to practice. Ask me to be closer to you. Okay, will you? I'm just crying. So I reached a threshold. I had to actually start feeling more. And man, on the other side of crying like a baby for like an hour,
mm-hmm.
that night, I sleep like a baby. No grinding my teeth. I wake up the next morning, no congestion. I mean, the amount of snot that came out of me when I had that crying spell was unreal. But the next day, all of a sudden, things are a little more in balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of it. And I definitely think that shows up in just a guy's life direction in general, like career choices and lifestyle choices. If we don't pay attention, if we're in our head just trying to figure out the right way to do it and ignore how we're feeling and what deeper was in our body, we're going to be miserable as long as we're willing to tolerate it until it finally pops.
Yeah, what I'm present to is that in that scenario, you actually just allowed yourself to experience what was going on, and you didn't try to put it in a box or explain it at the time. I'm imagining that. And mm-hmm. whereas another guy is probably going to be like kicking and screaming. All right, me, I'll be kicking and screaming, wanting to put a wrapper on it. Why is this happening? What is mm-hmm. going on? Is there another way to do this without having to actually experience the emotions involved?
Yeah.
And I imagine I meet a lot of guys that seems to resonate with them too. And so if you mentioned life direction, how does this show up in choosing what I'm going to do with my life?
Mm. Well, first of all, believe me, I did try to not feel it. I tried my damnedest, but I happened to, I surrounded myself with people who get bored with bullshit. So when I started not getting numb again, like, not that I need to be sad. I mean, if I look at it this way, and I start trying to avoid the feelings, they get bored. Like, everyone feels less alive, more numb. They're like, I don't want to hear your explanation. What are you feeling? Like, they held the fire up to me until I just dropped in. And if you don't do that, life direction is like that movie, remember The Truman Show?
Yeah, right.
I was still in the Army when that movie came out, and I remember guys talking about it, like, man, that was messed up. I was like, really, what was messed up about it? Because I was kind of an odd duck there. I was the philosopher soldier. So one of my best buddies is like Nietzsche and Sartre and all those guys, so I was digging that movie, but I just want to hear what these Army guys are going to say about him. Like, oh, it was messed up, you know. He thought he was really making his own choices, but everything he chose was just these limited options available on this stupid TV set. That's twisted, man. It's cruel. They're like, huh.
Let's all zoom out, shall we?
What's that?
It's like, let's all zoom out, shall we, and take a look at our own lives in that.
Exactly. Exactly. Because not him. It was disgusting in that movie, but not him. He chose his life. And I could just see it for my own, too. Like, I supposedly chose this based on the menu that mm-hmm. was offered. Show up, you got your high school counselor, you got college or, I don't know, vocational training. Here's your options, and you get to select one, and that's you choosing your life. Mm-hmm. And it's when you make choices that way. If I make a choice like that, I pay attention to how I feel in my body. If my body feels kind of irritated or numb or settling, and that's the kind of choices I make or choices that make me feel that way, that's the lifestyle I'm creating. Mm-hmm. The whole vibe of my whole lifestyle is the culmination of how it feels every choice I make.
Right. So we have the opportunity in every moment, you're saying, to like gauge where we are in our lives. Like, how does it feel to be making this choice? Like, driving into work today, what am I tolerating? What am I putting up with? That, just start to listen to our own bodies mm-hmm. in the same way as, like, it's not coming out of our nose or we're grinding our teeth. We're getting information all the time about the quality of, or the, would you call it the integrity of our choices?
I like that. It's usually I lose integrity by trying to be accurate about something.
Okay.
As if my beliefs, like, I'm going to make my choices based on what I believe and the right way, or here's my standards, and this choice is going to get me mainly to my goal. And basically, if anyone really, you know, Socrates style, if you actually checked my beliefs that I'm so right about, they're based on big-ass assumptions. Mm. I'm guessing. Even my most prized beliefs are long shots at best. Mm-hmm. And when I let go of that, trying to be accurate or not accurate, and it's like, well, when I believe this, how do I feel? Everything starts to change. I'm wary right here. I'm cautious because it's not like I recommend that every client just follow every gut impulse.
Yeah, it's almost like it could lead to a road of like a hedonistic lifestyle. Well, it felt good in the moment, so I did it. It
seems
like there's another piece there to temper that.
Well, it could be really hedonistic. Most guys I meet don't let themselves want things enough for them even to be hedonistic.
So they cut it off before it can even get to that point.
Totally. Well, there is usually, if I really put you on the spot and you're going to claim what you really want, most guys are like, well, I guess, yeah, if I could have it exactly how I wanted it, it would be this way, but that might make other people uncomfortable, or, you know, that's not how other people do it, that's not what my parents expected, or that, blah, 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 and I don't really deserve it that much. It's not that big of a deal. Mm. Like, very few people really let themselves deserve or want what they want enough to be hedonistic. I think that'd be a breakthrough. I'd love to see people more hedonistic.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. We'll return to the discussion in just a moment. The New Man Podcast is celebrating its first year, and we'd like to offer what we feel is the best of The New Man. The Best of The New Man, Volume 1, is a 6-CD set which features, Well, the best of our programs in a high-quality, easy-to-use format. In these interviews, we discuss how to have difficult conversations with your woman. What do women really want from a man? How to be firm with someone without being an asshole? How to stay out of the friend zone? What kills sexual attraction in a relationship? How to handle blue balls? How to safely deal with your anger? And we'll also dive into the deeper questions like, why are you holding back in your life? Perhaps you know a guy who'd like the new man but isn't hip to podcasts, or maybe you just want the convenience of our best shows on CD for yourself. Support the new man and go to thenewmanpodcast.com to purchase the Best of the New Man Volume 1 CD set today. As an added bonus, we'll throw in a free 30-minute coaching session with me, Trip Lanier. Thanks for listening, and now we head back to the discussion.
I'd love to see people more hedonistic. but also it could lead to total disaster. Like, you just follow whatever gut impulse and you may end up losing your job, or things that I'm not attached to you keeping your job, but this is the kind of choice when you start really following what feels true for you, where you feel lit up. Mm-hmm. The type of thing that has you wake up in the morning and you're excited that mm-hmm. you're alive for another day. So few clients I've ever worked with wake up grateful that they're alive again, that they have another day to live. For you to make choices that lead to that, it's fucking risky.
How so? What's at stake here? I entertain me.
I did some crazy stuff, man. When I was actually paying attention to I was philosophical enough to realize that my philosophy was fairly arbitrary and just paid attention to what felt good and right. Meanwhile, when I did that, I did crazy stuff. And meanwhile, my good buddies, who were also pretty smart cats, they're like climbing corporate ladders and they're doctors and, you know, they own houses and families. And meanwhile, I'm traipsing around India, like meeting random people, and I live paycheck to paycheck for years. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it was on the line. I was like, I may never make much money. I may be kind of poor as hell when I need to retire, because if I keep just trusting and following what I love, so far it's leading me to more and more poverty. And everyone else is like set. And if I'm going to go on vacation with my old buddies, they got to pay for my way because I have no money.
Yeah, so
it's edgy.
Yeah, it's very edgy in the sense that on one end, we can use that as like a yardstick to compare ourselves by, right? These guys have achieved this status and they've gotten to this place in their lives. There's not really an interior gauge of like, well, how do they really feel about it? But on the other mm-hmm. end, it's like living, as you were talking about, from this place of what's true for me, what's best for me, what am I doing moment to moment, doesn't necessarily guarantee that I'm going to be quote unquote successful.
Mm-hmm. Successful, yeah, you got to define success. And
right.
It's another one of those arbitrary concepts. But one of the missing pieces to temper things, I think, mm-hmm. is that I actually care about the experience of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always felt this, and I think it's served me a lot. If the people I love in my life aren't happy, then I'm not totally happy. I don't want to be codependent about it. I don't want to get entangled in, like, they may have hard times. It doesn't help for me to get all depressed with them. So I'm not saying you want to do that. But there is a certain way that my happiness is contingent on the people I care about also living fulfilled lives. So my choices have me feel a certain way, and they have people around me feel a certain way. You with me?
Yeah, so you're saying that you're aware of the impact of your choices onto others as well.
Yeah, I may be climbing that ladder, and I have a good retirement plan going on and stuff. And meanwhile, not only do I feel a little bit foggy and just kind of going through the motions, but people around me feel less alive.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, when I was tracing around India, and when I'm like living in my Jeep, traveling and meeting people, and like, it didn't look like I was, quote, successful compared to most of my friends, yet everyone around me seemed happier. Around me. They enjoyed being around me anyway. Everyone felt happier. So that was part of my metrics, I guess, for how I was going to choose. I was going to choose based on what felt true. And for me, it came around really well. Like, I don't know, maybe in the high school job fair. It's not like relationship coach or motivational speaker was not on the menu. It wasn't something I was choosing. In fact, I had friends that I would work with before we even knew what coaching was. Yeah, we had men's circles before we'd ever heard the term men's circle. And I would work with a guy, and he'd be really moved and inspired. He's like, man, whatever you just did, that's what you should do for a living. But I don't know how. I mean, maybe you should write a book, but no, it needs to be in person. But how could it be in person? Like, they didn't have course leader in their head. That wasn't even in our reality.
Right.
For them to say, hey, you should be a course leader. But they knew, they're like, there's something here you're given. Like, who you are is a gift for people when you're doing it in this way. You got to find a way to make that a living out of that.
I think that's the point, is like finding out where the value is, because it's not just valuable to you. You're saying it's impacting others around you.
Yes.
And the other part is just recognizing that just because it's not on the menu doesn't mean that it's not possible or it's not your gig on this time around the wheel, so to speak.
For me, it turned around where I make great money now and I enjoy what I do, what I can't help but to do anyway.
Right.
If you and I hang out, I'll end up doing the same kind of thing I do with clients for free, just because we enjoy it, because we love seeing what's under there, what's under that rock. And I get paid well to do it, and I enjoy my life, and I have I can raise a family now when I choose to, and it paid off for me. And you can't count on that. You can't be attached to that. It is a free fall.
Yeah.
When you start trusting and you're willing to celebrate whatever your karma is or whatever it comes from, you just sticking to your guns and following what seems true, it's a free fall, man. You don't get your little ego management of trying to orchestrate how you look to other people and if your life looks like theirs and if it fits the view of what success is and all that, so you don't feel like a failure. Like, you forfeit your right to try to manage how it all turns out. So it's an edgy game.
It is an edgy game.
That's my caution.
Yeah. I kind of zooming out and I'm thinking, all right, the guy's, he's starting to bump his head up against the wall. He realizes that the menu is far too limited for him and he's feeling that there's something else out there. And I've got clients that come in like, man, I'm ready to hang it up and I'm 45 years old and I'm going to go be a rock guitarist. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
It's kind of this all or nothing. It has this like, I'm going to get off the train completely. It's like, and I'm wondering if in your experience, how you've seen people bring more to their lives without necessarily having to throw it all away. Cause I think there's this assumption that I've got to trash my job. I've got to throw away my family. All this stuff needs to be jettisoned so I can live a more true, genuine life.
Yeah. It's very black and white, which I relate. I'm uncomfortable with anything other than extremes. And yet, usually when I work with someone who's like, screw it, I'm just going to go do my art. And I know musicians in San Francisco like that. And usually I actually feel less connected to them and less inspired by them when they go reckless like that.
Why is that? What has that?
Usually it turns out that they're not paying attention to what inspires them. They're fed up. And so there's just really extreme, like, screw it, I'm just going to dump everything and quit now and just go on the road. And it's not coming from a deeper wisdom. It's coming from an impulsive, frustrated, it's either frivolous or just reactive.
Yeah. It's
place.
It's a fuck it all versus what is it that I really want to do and express in my life now?
My life is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and the only thing, if it's a masterpiece, if I want to relate to my life as a masterpiece, I'm sculpting it with every choice I make, and I'm going to start being more inspired, and I'm going to pay more attention with every choice, such that it feels inspiring to me. And screw it, I'm quitting today. Rarely does that actually feel inspiring. It has, though. I've met people where it felt really right. I was like, whoo, I'm scared. I'm scared for you, but it feels right. So it may be extreme, it may not, but it's less about the specifics. It's about actually paying attention to what it feels like. If you make a choice that feels really reactive and like coming from a place of something's wrong with how my life is right now, like my life sucks, which, I could take you to other places in the world and you can see that your life is pretty goddamn good. Mm-hmm. And if you don't feel gratitude for it now, what makes you think you're going to feel gratitude for it later?
Right.
Because it could be a lot worse than it is now, and you're not feeling gratitude. Even if you make it better than this, so you can see that. But you can still make a choice as if your life sucks now. But if you do, that's the energy that you're going to create in your whole lifestyle. You're going to wake up in the morning with this sense of that there's something not good enough.
And it's almost like the carrot or whatever you're chasing always seems to just stay 2 yards ahead. Is that right? Like it just kind of has this feeling of I'm never going to grasp it. It'll always just stay someday. Right out there. I'll never be satisfied, essentially.
Something's going to happen and then I'll feel, I'll enjoy myself as opposed to right now. And if you really stick to your guns and make sure that it feels inspiring and feels right for you right now, it's usually, there's a wisdom. Most people have wisdom. It's good news. It's good news that you tend to be a fairly steady, you may make a dramatic shift, but it seems to be pretty steady.
And so we can tap into that wisdom, you say, and I'm imagining, you know, there's a part of me, it's like, gosh, if I want to make a life change, I'm going to have to change everything. It just seems so daunting. It just seems so like a vertical cliff versus a welcoming path up the mountain, so to speak, like something that I'm willing to, that meets me where I am, meets me where I'm ready to
now,
go.
Now, when it feels daunting for you, what is it, when you feel into it, like, oh, I'm going to have to make all these changes and stuff, what's the real cost for you personally? Like, what are you going to lose?
I would say in that moment for me, it's really around, things of security, stability.
You start to get afraid.
Yeah. It's like a fear response. So if I'm going to step out into this unknown, I'm leaving behind the safety of, well, it may suck here, but I know what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I relate to that one. Some people have comfort, like, oh man, I'm not going to be as comfortable, or yeah, I'm not going to be as secure, like, oh, what if then all my savings are gone, and then all of a sudden I'm going to go hungry, and what if I get sick, and then I can't get a different job? But like in your example with security, if you actually enjoy your life more, you're probably going to be a healthy, functional citizen of society for a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. You're actually going to be able to handle yourself, your basic needs, and then some for a long time, longer than if you sit here and suffer silently.
Yeah.
So it usually turns out to be the opposite. Like with comfort, a lot of people don't need nearly as many luxuries as they think they do. You know, if I'm doing what I love, there's these guys in the alley behind the Core Center in San Francisco. They rented out this old screwed up warehouse. It used to be an auto shop, and they just play music and throw parties. And San Francisco rent, I know they're barely covering that thing, and they seem happy as hell. I'm envious every time I see them. I'm like, oh, they are just doing what they dig doing the most. Mm-hmm. And they're hanging out with each other. They got good friends and making good jokes, picking up fun women at times, maybe not, but doing what they love, and they're happier than me.
Yeah,
I can tell, and they don't need nearly as much. I don't even know if they have bedrooms. They probably just crash in the chill space next to the recording, whatever you can call it, a studio. But they're happy.
There's this assumption that the path is going to be arduous and it's not going to be fulfilling along the way. So I may be sleeping at some shitball warehouse in San Francisco behind the Core Center, but I'm already assuming that it's going to suck. It's going to be this hard, arduous path.
You're assuming that you have way more needs than you actually do.
Right.
So people start to act as if they're these fragile, high maintenance creatures.
Oh, and that's where life starts to feel really narrow. And I see it a lot even when I work with my more affluent clients. It's like they're more terrified than the guys that are only pulling in a couple hundred bucks a week, you know?
Yep.
There's like so much more to lose.
And another big enemy to living a more passionate life is, I'd be fine. I don't even need good food. I'll live off P&J. That's fine. But my family or my friends who are close, like there's other people who rely on me, and they're weak and needy.
Yeah.
Like, they can't handle it. They need all these luxuries and stuff, so I can't actually be true to myself.
Well, and then there's the guy, that too, that's vicious. Like, yeah, if I don't do this for my family, I'll rock the boat. Or it, how much of that is being responsible to your family, and how much of that is just bullshit?
Where you're putting it on them. You're putting responsibility on them. Really, if human beings are really needy, the thing that we're most needy for is happiness. The thing that they're needing from you is to have a parent who's actually enjoying himself.
Hmm.
They would love to have a role model for enjoying your life. That's what they're needy for, way more than all the plastic toys and shit that we think we need to buy them.
Right. Or to just have the guy that comes in with this wave of resentment every day that this family is the boat anchor of my life, and I'm unable to follow the things I'm most passionate about. That kind of
because supposedly I'm serving them by right. resenting them and right. being miserable.
There's the guy that's there's the guy that's sucking it up and doing it for the family again. Check out part two of our discussion with Decker Kunoff, and be sure to visit thenewmanpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.